My goodness, I have been talking all of this time. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you now.
Okay, I've been talking this entire time and didn't even realize I was on mute. Thank you so much. I want to welcome each of you in on this afternoon to 6460. We begin this journey on January the 5th, and today is February the 26th, and that marks day 53 of this 60-day consecration. And so day by day, morning and noon and night, we've been yielding ourselves to prayer. We've been yielding ourselves to discipline and reflection and alignment. And so now we're in the part of this journey where God begins to expose what is really in us. He's been exposing what still needs healing, what still needs surrender, and what is required for us to carry what he has spoken. And so this afternoon, God gave me a very specific word he wanted me to release in this atmosphere. Today's lesson is going to be around the stages of anointing, the stages of covenant, delay, and qualification. That's what I'm going to be dealing with today, and I pray that I can be able to get it all into you within this 30-minute time frame. And so we're going to be talking about the stages of anointing, covenant, delay, and qualification. And so this particular lesson it's really, really important because many people know that they have received a word from God. They sensed the hand of God on their life. They discerned a call on their life, but they do not understand why the path between promise and fulfillment feels so hidden, feels slow. It feels painful, right? It feels unclear. Has anybody ever been there before? They assume something is wrong when in many cases, nothing is wrong. It's just something is being formed. And so today, we're going to look at these stages really carefully, okay? We want to look at it carefully because scripture and practical life, we can recognize what God may be doing and we want to respond correctly. We want to look at this through the scripture and we want to look at it through our practical life so that we can recognize what God is doing, right? And so that we can respond correctly. One of the most misunderstood parts of spiritual formation is the season between being marked by God and being made visible by God. I know I can't hear you right now, but I know that someone can agree. One of the most misunderstood parts of our spiritual formation is the season that is between being marked by God and being made visible by God. Many people think that when God places his hand on our life, everything should move quickly. They assume that anointing should produce instant recognition, immediate open doors, right? We get that prophetic word and we think that it's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen next week. It's going to happen in a month from now, right? We assume that our relationships are going to be smooth, that we're going to receive public affirmation right away, that we're going to receive visible progress, right? Yet the pattern in Scripture shows us something far more sobering and far more mature. Jesus, who was the Son of God, or who is the Son of God, he is the Son of God, yet he lived for years without public recognition. David, he was anointed king, yet went back to tending sheep after he was anointed by Samuel, right? Joseph was given dreams, yet entered betrayal and prison, right? Moses was marked for purpose, yet he spent years in the wilderness. In every one of these cases, and I'm just naming a few, there was a gap between what God had spoken and what people could see. And that gap is where people often get confused. They often get frustrated. They begin to ask God, God, if you really call me, why is it taking so long? Has that been you? If God really anointed me, why does no one see it, right? If God is with me, why does this stage feel so painful? If the promise is real, why am I facing so much contradiction? Has that been you? And the answer is that God does not only prepare promises, he prepares people. Did you hear that on today? That is why these stages that I'm going to give you today are important. If we do not understand the stages, then we will misread the process and we will turn on our very selves. Come on. We will turn on people. We will turn on God in the middle of becoming. So I want you to write this down. If you're not driving to lunch, if you're not, you know, doing something right at this moment where you cannot write, I want you to write this down. Anointing is when God marks a person for a purpose before the full evidence of that purpose is visible. I need you to write that on today if you're able to, right? I'm talking about the stages, and I'm in stage number one, the stage of anointing. Anointing is when God marks a person for a purpose before the full evidence of that purpose is visible, okay? Do you have that on today? I need you to write it down. I need you to write it down. Hallelujah. The anointing is when God marks a person for a purpose before the full evidence of that purpose is visible. Now, let us define this even the more. In Scripture, anointing has, it is not just, hear what I'm saying. I need you to hear me. Anointing is not just a feeling in a worship service. Do you feel the anointing? Yes. So I am not saying you can't feel anointing. I'm saying that it's not just a feeling in worship, okay? It's not merely your excitement. It's not merely a strong emotion. It's not just tears. It's not just goosebumps, right? It's not just passion or talent. Can those things be present when the anointing is present? Absolutely. But it's not just that. In the Bible, anointing is the setting apart of a person by God for his purpose. Okay, that's a capital H. His meaning God's purpose, with grace to carry what he has assigned. I'll repeat that again just in case you're writing. The anointing is not just the feeling that you get when you are in a worship service. It's not just the excitement because you're getting ready to go to a conference. It's not just strong emotions and tears and goosebumps, right? It is also the setting apart of a person by God for his purpose with grace to carry what he has assigned. In the Old Testament, oil was often poured on a person to signify that they were being set apart by God for a divine function, right? Priests were anointed. Kings were anointed. At times, prophets were anointed. And so the outward act pointed to an inward reality. God was marking a person for his use. We see it in 1 Samuel when Samuel anointed David, right? Now, I want you to notice what happened when he anointed David. If you read 1 Samuel 16, verse number 13, the Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." I want you to notice what did not happen immediately after the anointed. David did not instantly sit on the throne, although he was anointed king. I want you to notice that. He did not immediately receive the crown. He did not immediately go to the palace. He did not immediately get the public title of king or the national honor that comes with being a king. He was anointed, but he was not yet installed. He was marked, but he was not yet manifested, right? This is very critical, a critical distinction. David had the oil on him before he had the seat. Do you hear me? David had the oil on him before he had the seat beneath him. A person can be anointed and still be in an ordinary looking season. They can be carrying something from God while still living in a place that does not match the greatness of what has been spoken over them. Okay? Someone may have to have a teaching anointing. I'm going to give you an example, but they are not yet standing before the crowds. They may still be learning. They may still be serving quietly. They may be leading a small group or helping in hidden ways. Someone may have a business assignment from God, but they are still working a job. They're building slowly. They're trying to understand timing. Someone may be carrying a shepherding grace, but they are not yet leading formally. They are simply the one people keep coming to for prayer, for counsel, for stability. But the practical sign of anointing is often not visibility. It is weight. It is a burden from God. It is a pull toward purpose. It is the repeated sense that something in your life belongs to God and cannot be treated as any old thing. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Joseph's life gives us another picture. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 37, I don't have time to slow down on today. Joseph receives dreams from God that reveal something about his future. He is shown rulership before he has the maturity to even grasp it all. He sees significance before he has his process. And so the dream reveals divine intention, right? But the dream does not remove the need for formation. I got to tell you this. Yes, I know you see you got a vision. Uh-huh. Yes, I know God is speaking to you. But I need you to understand that the intention of God and what he desires for your life does not remove the need for formation. Some of you move too hastily. You move too quick. You see something and then you start responding and then you wonder why it doesn't work. You wonder why it looks like you're in and out because you still have to be formed. Sometimes anointing begins with insight, right? It begins with holy discontent. It begins with a burden, right? It begins with spiritual sensitivity. It may begin with a dream, with a persistent awareness that God is after something in your life. It may not even come with a title first. It may come with a conviction. It may come with pressure. It may come with stirring. It may come, I know what I'm talking about. It may come with a persistent drawing towards something you cannot ignore. Anointing means God has placed a claim on your life. It does not mean the process is complete. I need somebody to hear that on today, because you're moving out of timing, and God says you got to be formed. I don't care how anointed you are, you still have to be processed. I need somebody to hear that on today. It means the process has begun. That's what it means on today. Now, I'm moving into the second stage. I'm moving into the second stage, the stage of covenant. The stage of covenant. Write it down. The stage of covenant. Hallelujah. Covenant is the stage where God deals with your loyalty. Did you hear me? Covenant is the stage where God deals with your loyalty. He deals with your trust. He deals with your relationship with him so that your calling is not built on just your ambition. I'm going to say that again. Yep, I'm going to say it again. Covenant is, people don't really understand covenant. It's the stage where God deals with your loyalty. He deals with your trust. He deals with your relationship with him so that your calling is not just built on your ambition. Covenant is not just some shallow agreement. No, covenant is not about emotion. Covenant is not simply saying, God, you can use me. No. Covenant is a binding relationship of loyalty. It is the ordering of your life around God's voice, around God's will, around God's ways. Notice I didn't say anything about you. Notice I didn't say anything about me, my preferences, what I like, what I desire, what I want. No. True covenant is a binding relationship of loyalty to God's voice, to God's will, to God's way. And this particular stage is important because many people want what God has promised them, but not all people are ready to belong fully to him in the way the promise requires. You understand that there are requirements in a promise. There's requirements in a covenant. And everybody wants the promise, but they don't want to meet the requirements. In the book of Genesis, I know I'm preaching good right now. I'm in my preach right now. I'm not in my teach. I'm in my preach. In Genesis chapter number 12, Abraham receives the call of God. But in Genesis chapter number 15 and 17, there's covenant language that becomes very clear and it becomes very deep to Abraham. God is not merely giving Abraham information about his future. God is binding Abraham to himself. Abraham's life is being reordered by divine relationship. Covenant means that the promise is not the only important thing. Did you hear what I said? Covenant means that the promise is not it's not only the important thing. The God who made the promise is the central thing. He is the center of the promise. And so this stage is going to ask you some hard questions. It's going to ask you questions like, can you stay faithful to God when the promise is slow? Come on, talk to me, somebody. Can you obey God when his instructions do not flatter your flesh? Can you remain loyal to God when you're being corrected on your behavior? Can you remain loyal when there is no applause, when ain't nobody calling your name, when ain't nobody giving you an honorarium, huh? Can you trust God when obedience is going to cost you relationships? It's going to cost you your convenience. It's going to cost you your control. A person in covenant is no longer just trying to get something from God. They are learning to live with God. They're learning to walk with God. They're learning to trust God. Come on, let's talk to me, Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter number 5, verse 19, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. Come on, that is covenant language right there in action. Jesus is not operating independently. I know, Beyonce told you independent. All of this messaging out here is talking about you being independent, but if you're following Jesus, Jesus never operated independently. He is living in complete yieldedness to his Father. And a practical example of covenant is when a person refuses to move because an opportunity looks good. We had some people just this morning that were testifying about an opportunity that presented itself before them, but they said, you know what? I'm not moving unless God gives me I don't care how much money they're offering. I don't care what what status it brings to my name. It can be a good opportunity, but if it ain't a God opportunity, I don't want it. Come on. That is what you talk, that's what you call covenant. You stop asking only, is this open? And you start asking, is this God? Right? They stop making decisions based only on speed. When you understand covenant, you stop making decisions out of fear or ego or loneliness or recognition. You begin to submit your desires. You begin to submit your timeline. You begin to submit your interpretation to God. And this is where some believers really struggle. They love the idea of calling, but covenant requires your full surrender. We love the idea of influence. We want people to call our name, but covenant requires death to yourself. We love the idea of destiny, but covenant requires your trust. Covenant is where God teaches you that you cannot carry his promise correctly if you are still married to your own ambition. I'm moving to stage three because I'm getting ready to pray. Come on, stage three, and this is not it. I'm going to have to finish this another time. I don't even know why I thought that I was going to be able to, but I'm going to move to stage three. Come on, catch this real quick. This stage is called the stage of delay. I can't let you all leave without this particular stage. Delay is the stage where what God has spoken does not yet appear in its fullness. And this is where trust is tested. Come on, right here in this stage. This is where your motives are exposed. Come on. When something is delayed, this is where endurance is formed. Delay is very difficult. I won't sit up here and act like it's not. It's difficult because it often feels like contradiction. Come on. God said one thing, but your current life seems to look 180 degrees, 360 degrees, 420 degrees differently than what he said. And this is where people often begin to think the wrong thoughts. Come on. They assume delay means, oh God, you don't approve of me. We assume that delay means I'm not qualified for this. We assume that delay means that God has abandoned me. We assume that delay means God has changed his mind, but scripture repeatedly shows us that delay is often part of divine formation. Moses is called by God to deliver Israel, but before he could ever stand before Pharaoh, he spends years in Midian. By the time we meet Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3, he has already passed through loss. He passed through exile. He passed through obscurity. He passed through long waiting. Delay is when you know there is more in you than what your current season reflects. It is when you feel called, but your environment still feels small. It is when you know God spoke to you, but there is no visible movement. It is when you are doing what is right, yet the outcome is not immediate. And I need you to get this today. A practical example would be someone who knows they are called to ministry, but year after year they are serving in hidden places. They are cleaning up messes. They are supporting others. They are learning obedience without a title. Come on. Another example is someone who knows God has called them into business, called them into leadership, but they spend years learning discipline, recovering from immaturity, managing resources, dealing with that character before anything expands publicly. I got to go back to Joseph for a minute because we know that Joseph receives dreams. He received dreams in the book of Genesis, chapter number 37. But the road to fulfillment included a pit. It included slavery. It included false accusation. It even included prison. The Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Do you understand that you can be in a pit and God still be with you? That you can be in a slave position and God can still be with you? That you can be accused and slandered and persecuted and God can still be with you? That you can be in prison and God can still be with you? That you can be diagnosed with cancer and God can still be with you? That people can reject
You have to understand that that verse is important because it means that delay is not proof of God's absence. Joseph was not forgotten when he was in the pit. He wasn't forgotten when he was in Potiphar's house. He was not forgotten in prison. Delay often carries these practical pressures. You begin to compare your life to other people. Come on. You start wondering whether you heard God correctly. You feel tempted to force open doors. You become vulnerable to self-condemnation. You begin to think that if you were really chosen, that things would be moving faster. But the Bible says in Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Delay is not a license to quit. Delay is an instruction to remain faithful. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 23, God tells Israel that he will drive out their enemies little by little. And that means God sometimes works gradually, because immediate possession without maturity can damage a person. There are things God will not release quickly because your soul, come on, discipline, discernment, your capacity is not yet ready to steward them well. And so you got to understand that delay is not always resistance. Sometimes it is mercy. Let me get out of here. Let's pray on today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for day 53 of 60-day journey. We thank you that you have brought us this far by your mercy, by your hand, by your patience, by your faithfulness. We thank you that even in moments when we didn't understand what you were doing, you remain God, you remain wise, you remain seated, you remain present. And we ask you now to open our understanding concerning these stages of anointing, concerning the stages of covenant, concerning the stages of delay. Do not let us misinterpret what you are doing in our lives, where you have called process, oh God, in the name of Jesus, where you have called us to be process. Lord God, I pray, God, that you deal with the eyes of your people, deal with our eyes today, so we don't mistake, oh God, our process for punishment. God, we call on the correction of God. Lord God, to correct us, oh God, so that we can be meet for the master's use. Lord God, if we have called delay rejection, Father, correct us today. God, where we have mistaken hiddenness for abandonment, correct us today. Where we have allowed pain to distort our interpretation of your heart, heal us and bring us back into truth. God, we ask you to show us where your hand is upon us. Let every person under the sound of my voice come into greater clarity concerning you and, Lord God, what you have marked in their life. Show us the burdens you placed in us. Show us the assignments that you have set before us. Show us the areas where you have been dealing with us, stirring us, convicting us, preparing us. Let anointing be understood correctly. Lord God, not just as excitement, not just as outward visibility, but a divine marking, divine grace, divine purpose. Where there is confusion around our calling, God, I pray that you would bring clarity today. Where there is insecurity around our purpose, let there be strength. Where there is comparison happening, Father, in the life of your people, Father, God, silence that voice of comparison in the name of Jesus. Where there is striving to prove what only you can establish, break that striving and bring holy rest to the soul. We ask you to bring us into deeper covenant with you, Father. Strip away every shallow desire, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that we have without surrendering. God, strip away the desire to be influential without having intimacy with you. Strip away the desire for movement without your obedience. Oh God, strip away the desire for public grace, oh God, without public, private consecration. Teach us how to belong to you. Teach us how to trust you. Teach us how to walk with you, Father, when no one is clapping, when no one is confirming, when no one understands what we're doing. Lord God, teach us. Lord, expose every competing allegiance. Expose every place where ambition still lives in us. Expose every place where fear of man still governs our choices. Expose every place where self-will is still trying to sit on the throne. We lay those things down before you now, and we ask for a heart that fears you, God, more than we fear people. Lord God, give us a heart that loves truth more than image. Lord God, give us a heart that values obedience in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray today that you would seal this word in the hearts of your people. Let it remain, oh God, not just as information, Lord God, not just as inspiration, but God, I pray that it will become wisdom, that it will become discernment, that it will become stability in them, that it will become alignment in them. We declare that they will not misread your hand. We declare, Lord God, that they will not abandon covenant. We declare, Lord God, on today that they will not faint in delay in the name of Jesus, oh God. We declare today, Lord God, that they will receive qualification with humility. We declare today that they will trust you even in a season of being hidden, that they will trust you in silence. They will trust you, oh God, even if they're being betrayed. Lord God, they will trust you even if the process is slow. They will trust you in the middle passageway in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you, Lord God, that until the promise manifests, Lord God, in the way that you've ordained it, that we will stand, we will yield, we will honor you, and we will bless you. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. The line is now open at this time for anyone that would like to come forth on today. If you have a testimony, if you agree with the word, you can come forth at this time.
Thank you so much, Apostle, for this word. I agree with God today, and I strive to just continue to grow deeper and be processed through covenant. And so thank you, Apostle.
Amen. To God be all the glory. Amen. Glory be to God. Is there anyone else? If you want to make a public declaration on today, if you have a testimony that you want to share, if the word touched you deeply, please feel free to come forth at this time.
Blessings, Apostle and family. Apostle, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the processing that I'm going through with God, and may I continue to be processed. Thank you for this word. I agree with God.
Amen. I agree with God. Glory be to God. Will there be another on today?
This is Ms. Pat from South Carolina. I surrender to the process, Jesus. And I agree with God. Thank you.
Amen, amen, and amen, Miss Pat. Anyone else that would like to come forth, please do so at this time.
Grace and peace. This is Denitra. I just had to step away and say I agree with God. I agree with the process. I yield to the process. And this was so needed. And I thank God that I didn't miss it. Thank you so much, Apostle.
Amen. We give God glory on today. I'm so glad that you didn't miss it either, woman of God. I thank God that we are under the banner of his word on today. Anyone else, please feel free to come forth at this time.
Yes, I just would like to say I was invited on this line, and it blessed my soul. It definitely found me in a place, and I needed to hear that, and there was some reassurance in there, and I just thank God for the people of God. Thank you.
Amen. We thank God for you, woman of God. Thank you for joining on today. Amen. We pray that you this won't be the last time that you join us. Amen. We're here every day at 5 a.m., the same number, and then we meet back here at 12 noon. Amen. So we hope that you will continue to join us, and we love you. God bless you, and thank you for joining.
Thank you. Thank you, and I will be back on.
Amen. Glory be to God. Will there be another? If you're here and you would like to come forth, please feel free to do so at this time.
Hey, this is Kevin. And the teaching was marvelous. And I really needed it. And thank you, woman of God, for being the great teacher, the great leader, the great apostle that you are. And praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you.
Amen, son. Thank you for being on with us. I know that you're on every day. Amen. And I thank God for you. Amen. A true man of God, a husband, a father, a leader. Amen. Very, very apostolic in nature. Amen. And an innovator. And we thank God for all that God has invested in you. Amen. You and your wife are weapons of war against the enemy. And it's no wonder why the enemy comes up against you all like he does, but he has no power. His power is not greater than God. Amen. And so we just thank God for what God is doing in the Morris household. Praise be to God. Anyone else that would like to come forth on today, on this afternoon, feel free to do so at this time. Amen. Well, we thank God for all that was able to join on this afternoon. We want you to share, amen, the information with someone. Let them know that they can go to our website, which is www.sentmiami.com, and it is there that they can access all of the prayer teachings and prayers that have gone forth from January 5th up until today. Now, some of them will be missing, but the majority of them are there. And so anything that was released today may not be available right away, but it will be available within 24 hours. So anyone that is here, especially those that are new, please feel free to go and listen to the prayers that came before at our website, www.sentmiami.com. We also want to invite you to Prophet DeMarcus. For those of you that know Prophet DeMarcus, his birthday is coming up. Woo woo. Amen. I got to say it like Prophet Zeporia. I think she says, woo woo. Okay. And so his birthday is actually coming up on March the 2nd. It's a Monday. And we're going to be celebrating him on Friday, March the 6th at 7:30 p.m. And we have the address for you. And we want all of our 60 for 60 family, if you're able to come, we would love for you to be in the place. And it's going to be at Restoring Grace Community Church, which is at 1122 Northwest 9th Avenue in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33311. Make sure that you pay close attention to the address because it has changed to Restoring Grace Community Church, 1122 Northwest 9th Avenue in Fort Lauderdale, 33311. That is Friday, March 6th at 7:30 p.m. And this Sunday is Encounter Mornings at SIT Miami at 5 a.m. And we want you to be in the building. We are doing a free training on spiritual mapping, and it is happening this Sunday at 5 a.m. Now, listen, if you have never been to Encounter Mornings, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. I'm telling you, you don't want to say, oh, I'll just get there next time. Every single time is different. There's never been a time that we've had Encounter Mornings that we encountered God the same way. He comes in by fire. Sometimes he comes in like a flood, like water. Come on. He always meets us a different way. And so we're going to really be teaching and training on Sunday, and especially if you're an intercessor, if you're a prophet, if you're an apostle, if you're apostolic in nature, if you're prophetic in nature, if you're a leader, if you have a business, you need to be in the room. So prepare yourself and plan for this Sunday at 5 a.m. with us. We'll be right back here on tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. In fact, Prophet DeMarcus is leading us in prayer on tomorrow morning. Don't forget to get your last 20 minutes in today with the Lord. It doesn't matter what time, but before your head hits that pillow and you go to sleep, make sure that you spend your own private time with the Lord. We love you. More grace.